Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. Quick disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are provided for informational purposes only and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any securities or to make or consider any investment or course of action. For more information, go to bestevershow.com.
That's where the alignment starts. So there's an alignment of interest. There's an alignment of this is the business. You're seeing it from the horse's mouth in the virtual room of investors, if you will. And this creates that buy-in, if you will. And this is why this is important.
Welcome to the Best Ever Show, the world's longest running daily commercial real estate podcast. Our hosts interview commercial real estate experts every day to get you the best advice ever with none of the fluffy stuff.
Best ever listeners, welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Slocum Reed, and today we are joined by Kyle McKinney. Kyle is joining us from Los Angeles, California. He is a commercial real estate investor and coach. His coaching company is called the Pentagon Property Academy. His current portfolio consists of 421 multifamily units as a co-general partner. Kyle, can you tell us a little bit more about your background and what you're currently focused on?
Yes, absolutely, Slocum. And thank you for having me on. I'm really excited to record this podcast session with you. So thank you all and to the team behind the scenes. So yes, my career, Act One, was spent at the federal government level, working as a consultant at the Pentagon and various top secret federal government agencies, and the bridge over to commercial real estate, did consulting, sports, tech, and entertainment, and Act Two, landing in commercial real estate, starting my investment journey through my Invictus Acquisitions Group firm. That's where the 421 units comes into play, and then also being invited to run a sizable portfolio in Southern California, consisting of self-storage, multifamily, retail office, industrial flex, and eventually selling that to a self-storage REIT.
Cool. So in your bio, I introduced you as a co-GP on 400 plus units. And you talked about investing in a firm with other investors. Let me make a bunch of assumptions and you can tell me which ones are right and wrong. It sounds like you are syndicating multifamily, probably on a value add business plan where you have a targeted hold period after which you're selling. Your return metrics, are they IRR driven?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, cool. Glad we got all that out of the way so we could yes. We could progress the conversation faster.
For sure.
This is a short form podcast and we have a really sophisticated listener base. If they don't know all the words I just used, they can Google them.
Oh, okay.
I didn't say in your bio that Pentagon Property Academy is about empowering people to invest in commercial real estate. You put in the bio that there is an emphasis on asset management within your coaching. Tell us about that.
Yeah, thank you for asking. So yes, there's emphasis on asset management because I think what we're seeing in the marketplace right now, especially when it comes to multifamily investing, is that yes, we're facing headwinds with interest rates and debt being more expensive and rent growth not being there. However, like I like to say, is raising capital, closing the deal is not even the work of that investment. It really comes down to the asset management component of it. And as we all know, in a 3 to 5 year investment horizon, the day-to-day asset management, overseeing property management, making sure things are on par and hitting every target that the business plan was set towards is critical. And I think there's a mismanagement of deals that is happening due to a number of factors, whether it's a gap in skill set, a gap in knowledge, so on and so forth. And that's what we put an emphasis on. And so Pentagon Property Academy doesn't focus on capital raising. It focuses on asset management and what do you do when X, Y, and Z emergency happens. And we're handholding property owners, landlords, syndicators through their deals week to week, day by day, and helping them shore up their deficiencies there.
That makes a lot of sense. I don't know how much you know about me, Kyle. I am an apartment owner operator, effectively fully vertically integrated here in Cincinnati, Ohio. The entire portfolio is here locally because I'm vertically integrated. I appreciate the emphasis on asset management. I'll leave it at that. I was going for a sports analogy, and then in my head, I got to the end of the analogy, and it didn't work. So okay, we'll just okay. Scrap it.
Okay.
I'm a rugby guy.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. Okay.
But it was a rugby analogy that people wouldn't have gotten anyways. Kyle, is it fair to assume that you're the asset manager within your general partnerships?
Yeah. So I said on the asset management, there are lead partners that take the lead on that. However, with Pentagon Property Academy, how this actually came about is working with clients, early stage syndicators, and helping them institutionalize their firm, meaning with my institutional background, putting in place systems and processes, human capital resources that help them go from essentially as simple as taking the pro forma from a financial model and putting that in the budget. And when those budgets need to be done in a collaboration with property management, you know, what to expect from property management as far as when you meet with them week to week. So essentially, it's institutionalizing small to medium-sized businesses so that the asset management is shored up.
Kyle, I'd like to take a bit of an abnormal twist on the asset management conversation for a commercial real estate investing podcast. I mentioned earlier that I'm vertically integrated. This is relevant for you to understand where I'm coming from, Kyle. And also, I'll get to the point where I talk about the value that our listeners should get out of this, as well as just me taking advantage of the podcast for my own personal intellectual gain. As a vertically integrated investor who's been owner operating since my first house hack, I'm expanding my capital raising beyond one-off joint ventures. So I'm thinking about how much more sophisticated I need to be as an owner operator when it comes to reporting to my capital providing investor partners. Call them LPs, JVs, whatever they are. They're bringing their money because they believe in me. And I need to not only deliver, but also demonstrate, explain, report on what's going on, report on what it is that I'm delivering. I'm not a natural at that. I don't know who is. But I'd like to discuss asset management with you, Kyle, where I'm coming from the perspective of the property manager. So in this conversation between us, Kyle, please take the position of the asset manager for a syndicated real estate general partnership and tell me as a property manager, how can I make your asset management easier? What is it that you're expecting to have me communicate to you as I, the property manager, am executing on your value-add business plan?
That's a great question. I would say a couple of things here. Let's start with what you just mentioned, reporting. So oftentimes in these value-add, middle-of-the-fairway deals, we're using Yardi, Voyager, Yardi, Breeze, we're using some type of property management software. Oftentimes, they do have a reporting component, but sometimes it's not as granular as we need it to be. That creates a narrative. So what I would expect from a property manager is to take that information, that data, and extract it. And let's say we compile this in a larger spreadsheet so we can have more visibility and granularity into these numbers. And what I mean by, okay, well, let's talk about delinquent tenants. Let's look at patterns, why they're delinquent, what time of the month do they tend to pay for the last 90 to 120 days? Where is their employment based? What is their current credit score? This type of granularity we like to know because we need to see patterns and trends here and start to have a recourse so that we can rectify these situations. We also obviously want to have open communication, so communication cadence beyond the weekly check-in meetings, whether that's WhatsApp, that's Slack, obviously emergency items here. And physical plant condition as well. What does the property look like on a day-to-day basis? What is happening? Are there folks roaming around the place, et cetera, et cetera? How this informs asset manager is that the asset manager is then able, to your point earlier, Slocum, take this data, create a narrative, and then intelligently report to their LPs in a financial review meeting, which should be happening on a monthly basis, because this data needs to be presented. And I like to say, you don't want to cook in front of your LPs, meaning that there should not be any discussion and trying to figure out things in that meeting. You come to that meeting with your food cooked, already prepared. This is what we have to present today. Because you got to think, there's only so many, I don't know, let me get to you, cards that you can play in these meetings, especially when you aspire to be in the semi-institutional LP level, family offices, the Blackstones of the world. They want to hear answers and they want to hear solutions. And that is what we at Pentagon Property Academy, again, going to the institutionalizing firms, that's what we specialize in doing.
So Pentagon is focused on getting people prepared to asset manage for partners that are institutional capital.
Yes, correct.
Got it. Well, a couple of things here. You may have already answered my next question. I'm going to ask it anyways, Kyle, because I want to hear you say it. But I will say that I think for the sake of our listeners, they are going to find much more value putting themselves in your shoes than in mine. So I'm going to be the testy and maybe contradictory property manager and see how you handle the objections and the questions that I give you. I'm not going to get my sword and shield out or anything, but okay. I want to see how this conversation goes, and I want people to put themselves in your shoes and hear you deal with me. My question here is, why do you need such a granular level of detail about the properties that, quote, I am managing for you as your manager? Why isn't it enough that I send you the P&L? Again, a P&L specific to the money that has flowed through my management company. I know it's not comprehensive. You're going to have to take my P&L, build it into your own income statement, your own P&L more globally for your firm. You're handling your balance sheet, not me. A P&L and a rent roll update with a leasing update inside it, that should be enough for you, shouldn't it?
You would think so, but it's actually not enough, because I'll lead with this. Every number has a story. This is what I would tell my executive. Every number has a story, and we need to be able to answer the 3 to 5 whys behind every number. So why did this first number that we're seeing on this P&L occur? Then asking that again, and then also again, because the numbers just don't land on the P&L. They have a reason. So we need to be able to see patterns, extract trends, because if we see, for example, that unit turns, we budgeted for $1,500, but they are consistently at $1,800. Well, why is that? Is that because of if we're outsourcing the cost of those wages where that company has increased? Did we increase wages last month, give folks a raise, construction costs, materials costs, things of this nature? We need to be able to identify so that we can prepare, make adjustments. Well, clearly we're going over budget for the last 90 days. Is there an adjustment that needs to be made? So that's why we need to have that level of granularity.
Kyle, what are the adjustments that you as the asset manager expect to make that I, the property manager, would not be making myself?
So those would be primarily in the budget. And then also there's some collaboration as well, such as rent increases. Obviously, a property manager will have some visibility within their local submarket, but we also expect the asset managers to have the most visibility, owning their market, understanding what is happening. And we're talking about what projects are coming online that are potentially competitive in our submarkets, where are leasing trends going within that market, et cetera, and macro and microeconomic factors that could potentially affect our asset or portfolio.
Kyle, when it comes to setting the budget, as you were saying, how frequently do you find yourself taking the recommendations of your property manager with regards to what the budget should be based on the results that you want in value-add business plan as a whole or specific parts, including individual unit turns? Are you taking the property manager's advice, or are you taking quotes and advice from the property manager and then building the budget and dictating to the property manager how much money needs to be spent on each turn?
It would be the latter. So you're definitely taking inventory and taking recommendations, suggestions from the property management firm, because whether they're in-house or third party, ideally they have their pulse in the market. However, the property management firm, whether in-house or third party, does not answer to the LP invest cohort like the asset management team does. And so the asset management team has target returns that need to hit that need to then be articulated to the property management firm. So hence, this is our budget. This is how much we have to spend on unit turns or X, Y, and Z. This we need to renegotiate, et cetera, et cetera. We're doing a buy and sell hold analysis. This is what this looks like, and we need to hit these targets for this to make sense, to make a decision there.
We'll get back to the show, but first, some sponsors I'm confident you'll find value in learning more about. If you're an investor like me, you're probably looking for one platform to manage the banking and finance needs of your entire portfolio. The good news is, there is one. It's called Baselane, and it's the number one banking platform built for independent real estate investors that reduces busy work so you can focus on growing your business. With Baselane, you can earn up to a 4.19% annual percentage yield and 5% cash back on debit card spending with no monthly fees. With a simplified view of your cash flow and expenses, you can retire those tedious spreadsheets. You can also manage unlimited virtual accounts and cards, and even open separate accounts for each property or unit. Join more than 40,000 real estate investors who trust Baselane for their banking, property management, and bookkeeping. Head over to baselane.com/Joe and sign up today for a chance to win a $500 Amazon gift card. That's baselane.com/Joe.
Kyle, I see where you're coming from. It was the general partnership who put the original budget together, raised the capital, and is reporting to the people who provided that capital. It makes a lot of sense that you would want budgetary control there within the general partnership, 100%. And again, these questions are coming from my lack of asset management experience on the deals where my ownership structure is the closest to a syndication. I am effectively asset managing myself as the property manager. I'm in the ownership group. I'm not third party. So there's a greater alignment of interest there because I'm getting my own financial reward more so from ownership of the property than from managing it. That said, and again, my question coming more from my experience being different from yours, Kyle, you and your Pentagon clients, who is it that is expected to be the expert on executing on your value add business plan? It's not the acquisitions guy. Let's be real. As soon as he or she have got the deal closed, they got to move on to the next thing because they are not the detail oriented, stick with it through the difficult times people. It's going to be the asset manager or the property manager that the GP selects to work with. How much of that expertise on executing on the plan resides with the asset manager, and how much of it are you expecting from your chosen property manager?
I would say 100% is on the asset management team, because the property managers can be switched out. And that's a reality, right? I think there's a narrative in our industry that property management can make or break a deal. And when things aren't going well, they are changed. So the asset management team, a part of the GP cohort, remains, and a new property management comes in. Now, of course, that's different from if you're vertically integrated, but it relies solely on the asset management team exclusively.
Kyle, I want to make sure that we're differentiating between expertise and responsibility or accountability, because third-party managers can be fired, like you said. And there is a sentiment in this industry that everything rises and falls on property management, but the property manager at the end of the day is not the one responsible or accountable to the ownership group or the limited partners. That said, the property manager more than likely, or depending on the manager that you or your students, your clients hire, Kyle, whether it's the manager or the regional, however it is the company is set up, that is going to be the person or the company with the most experience renovating apartments, reading the market, determining what market rents are, figuring out what qualifications and concessions are necessary to get apartments leased on schedule. It seems to me that the expertise, while the asset management team is responsible for delivering on the business plan, it's the property management company that is really in a position to be experts on the execution of the plan. So is it more so the asset manager's responsibility to be the expert on executing the plan, or is it more the asset manager's responsibility to make sure they've hired the right expert?
That's a great question. I actually would split that down the middle. I think you made a salient point, because the property management ideally are the experts on the ground that, to your point, have the trends on leasing rates, qualifications. Hey, we weight credit scores this much because we want to remain competitive, or we don't consider it at all in our application process, things of that nature. So absolutely, they should have the lion's share of the expertise, especially in that particular submarket, market, et cetera. However, the execution that business plan does rely more so on the asset management team. But there is some overlap as well that the asset management team needs to make sure that they put the right property management team in place to execute that, because they are an extension of that. So if you think about it in the sports analogy that you brought up, if the asset managers are the coaches set the game plan, and the players, the property management teams, go out and execute that game plan, and the coaches will make adjustments on the fly, et cetera, et cetera. But if you think of it like that, the coaches in sports oftentimes get fired more frequently than players get traded. And that's because the coaches are dependent upon to execute the business plan. So that's how much emphasis and responsibility that these coaches have, aka asset managers.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's not a sports analogy I was going with. I was trying to say that I once had a ref in rugby pull the front rows aside, numbers 1 through 3 on each team. The few rugby fans who are listening will understand. I had refs pull us aside pregame to make sure that everything was lined up exactly the right way, because what we do is violent and dangerous. And they would say the game can be lost anywhere, but it's won right here. So you have to make sure you get this right, as like a way to explain. But I was going to say, in commercial real estate investing, especially value add multifamily investing, very similar to what you and I do, the game has to be won anywhere, but when it's lost, it's usually lost here. Yep, so it's the opposite of the analogy that I was totally shooting for.
Totally.
But a couple of things, and then we'll head to the last segment of this episode, Kyle. Your experience, both personally in your own investing and the experience that your clients or students at Pentagon are having, what are the most common issues that are coming up in the asset management, property management relationship?
I think it's a lack of one reporting. We talked about this earlier, and reporting as far as property management to the asset management team. What the asset management team wants to see, oftentimes I'm seeing a consultation happening where the asset management team is saying, we need to see this level of granularity, or we need to have these numbers expanded, or can you drill down, et cetera, because this is what matters to us. I'm also seeing property management teams. Of course, folks want to build out their portfolio that they have under management, but oftentimes they don't have the know-how, capabilities, resources, human capital to take on deals in the syndication space that are 100, 200 units. So I'm seeing that. And again, they're learning on the fly. And sometimes the asset managers or the GPs are suffering because they need things a little bit quicker. They need things more granular, et cetera. I'm seeing that. So I think there's an opportunity there for conversations between property management firms and asset management teams as far as what's important to both. How do you bridge that gap, whether it's on the reporting side, it's on the business plan side, because oftentimes asset managers aren't sharing. To your point earlier, we are IRR driven. We are returns driven. This is what matters to us. We have investors in these deals. They have given their hard-earned money, and it's a summation of millions of dollars. This is why this matters to us. So I think the communication should be open so that there's transparency there and there's alignment there as well.
I'm going to ask this question again more broadly about real estate investing, but specific to your relationships and your clients' relationships with their property managers, what is your best ever advice, Kyle?
My best ever advice would be to have the property management team actually be involved early on in the deal, not just confirming assumptions, making sure that their pro forma hits certain targets, but also how many property managers have you seen that also attend that syndication group's investors pitch? I would say that's where the alignment starts. So there's an alignment of interest. There's an alignment of this is the business. You're seeing it from the horse's mouth in the virtual room of investors, if you will. And this creates that buy-in, if you will. And this is why this is important. So that is what would be my best ever advice.
That makes a lot of sense. Kyle, are you ready for the best ever lightning round?
Yes, let's get to it.
What is the best ever book you recently read?
Who Not How by Dan Sullivan.
And Benjamin Hardy. Yeah,
yes, I'm a big fan. Benjamin Hardy. Yes, absolutely.
Nice. What is your best ever way to give back?
Mentoring. I am on the board of an organization called Defy Ventures, which gives second chances for those with criminal histories through entrepreneurship. So it's an incredible program for an overlooked population within our society. And to hear folks that haven't been in our society since beepers were around and have no idea on how to use Gmail or create an email with the right protocol or etiquette is incredible. So giving folks these entrepreneurial skills, et cetera, job pitching, resume writing, et cetera, is incredible.
This next question, I'm interested to see if your answer is asset management related. Kyle, on the deals that you've done, properties you have acquired, what is the biggest mistake you've made and the best ever lesson that resulted from it?
I think I'll answer that in also my own personal experience and also coaching as well, is we have had in our portfolio personally an investor cadence or communication cadence monthly. And oftentimes I think that could have been kicked up every 3 weeks or 2 weeks because folks want to know what's happening, especially some of my properties or most of them, all of them actually are in Texas. And so when the Texas freeze happened, we all know what happened, right? And so I think we were great about keeping our investors informed, what was happening on the ground, et cetera. But I think there could have been opportunity to maybe even give more frequent updates, maybe 3 or 4 times a week, even daily, because things were happening so much in real time. So that's the learning lesson, right? And good, bad, and ugly, investors want to hear from folks that they are providing capital to. So that's the learning lesson. And also the takeaway that I would share with the listeners is talk to your investors. Monthly cadence should be the minimum, even if oftentimes value add plans are we won't distribute until 6 months at post-close. Keep your investors in the know.
And Kyle, speaking more generally now, what is your best ever advice?
Be likable. So my father, retired colonel, told me long time ago, said, son, more than half of your success will be from how much people like you. And that has rang true in my career and professional life. People want to work with people that they can enjoy at dinner and be around people that are happy, positive, likable people. It goes a long way. Skills can be trained up, et cetera, but if you're likable, you're coming along for the ride and getting introduced and making connections and essentially making more money. I take a look at Shaq, right? Everyone loves Shaq. It's a likable guy. So be like Shaq.
Much easier to have a career after basketball for someone who's that likable, for sure.
Absolutely.
There are, of course, guys who had investing careers after basketball. Nobody was trying to make Michael Jordan an anchor on their analysis show. Not the way that they did with Shaq, Charles Barkley. So totally get where you're coming from, especially with the Shaq reference. Last question, where can people get in touch with you?
I'm on Instagram at I am Kyle McKinney. So again, at I am Kyle McKinney. Also, my email is Kyle@PentagonPA. PA stands for PropertyAcademy.com. So Kyle@PentagonPA.com. But yeah, we'd love to talk to folks. Please get in touch.
Those links are in the show notes. Kyle, thank you. Best ever listeners, thank you as well for tuning in. If you gained value from this episode, please do subscribe to our show. Leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend you know we can add value to through our conversation today. Thank you and have a best ever day.
Hi, best ever listeners. Joe Fairless here again. And one last thing before you go, would you like to receive a short weekly email with proven tips from experienced investors, free tools and resources, and a roundup of the week's most relevant news and best ever content? Well, if so, join the community of nearly 15,000 commercial real estate passive and active investors who receive the best ever newsletter. Just go to bestevercre.com/access. And you'll get the very next one. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And as always, thank you for listening and have a best ever day.